Nalavenu Sharastanba Pushati Chakagavaram Eka Evati Atoham Adraksham Vipinam Maha Oram Padibayakaram Yalaluka Shivajiram Nalavenu Sharastanba Pushaki Chakagavaram Eka Evati Atoham Gauram Pratibhayakaram Yaloluka Shivajiram Nala Pipes Venu Bamboo Sharaha Pens Tanbam Full of Kusha Sharp Grass Kichaka Weeds, Gavaram, caves, Ekaha, alone, Eva, only, Atiyataha, difficult to go through, Aham, I, Adraksham, visited, Vipinam, deep forests, Mahat, great. Ghoram, fearful. Pratibhaya akaram, dangerously. Vyala, snakes. Uluka, owls. Shiva, jackals. Ajiram, playgrounds. Translation. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Purport.
It is the duty of a mendicant, Parivrajakacharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forces, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear, and the most typical sannyasi of the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner through the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deer, elephants, and many other jungle animals. In this age of Kali, sannyasa is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. The change of dress is only a formality. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi. And in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasis should not change their former names following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended, and one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Parivrajakacharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures led by the great acharyas, like the six Goswamis.
Nalavenu Sharastanba Kushaki Chakagavaram Eka Eva Tiyatoham Adraksham Vipinam Mahat Gauram Pratibhayakaram Yaloluka Shivajaram. Well, the primary qualification or one primary qualification of a sannyasi is abhayam. This word abhaya means without fear. Because he knows that super soul is with him and is protecting. And he knows that he's not the body and that the soul cannot be harmed in any way. Principle of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, fear going in any circumstance. Because he knows, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. That if Krishna wants to protect someone, then wherever he goes, he'll be safe. And on the other hand, if Krishna wants to kill someone, then wherever he tries to hide, death will find him. He cannot escape. So, knowing this, he doesn't have any hesitation. Prabhupada gave the example of himself. He was living in the Bowery, and other people were mentioning to him that living in the Bowery, it's a very dangerous place to go there, and there's all kinds of thieves and rogues. So, but he said, I did not see it like that. I didn't see, I was not afraid, there was no fearfulness for me. So, this is, it doesn't mean that he's foolish. He doesn't walk in the middle of the freeway to see if Krishna will protect him. That is not his idea. But in the course of his service, that's the point. He, like once, Prabhupada was preaching in India. This was in the Calcutta side. And at that time, there was a great agitation by a group of communists called Naxalites. And they were killing leading men of the city. Just for the city. Terrorists, basically. They were terrorizing. And so they would choose a particular leader of the city, some big person, and they would just kill him. Well, this was going on, and they were terrorizing. Everyone was afraid of them. At that time, the devotees, under Prabhupada's direction, held a big pandal program, which means pandal is like a tent, but you know, shamayana, the top part. So, at those programs, you could have 10, 20, 30,000 people attending, and people were coming. So the Naxalites didn't like that religion was becoming popular because being communists, they don't believe in God. They sent a letter. Prabhupada was on the stage. And so they sent a letter up to Prabhupada. Fly or die. That was the message from the letter. In other words, you better leave or you're going to die. Prabhupada, when he got that message, he said, go out and find them, invite them to come up, we'll talk. So he came, they gathered up the Naxalites and they came back and Prabhupada spoke to them and they were charmed. They were satisfied that they didn't do anything. So, not everyone would do this. This is quite a fearless thing to do. Call in the persons who are threatening you. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went through the Jarikanda jungle, he had one follower with him, Kala Krishna Das. Or was it Balabhadra? Balabhadra. So, Lord Chaitanya was walking right through the jungle, and there were tigers and lions and elephants and all these wild animals, and Lord Chaitanya would kick them with his lotus feet and say, come on, get up, chant the holy name. And they began chanting. You've seen the painting That's not just a artistic rendering. But actually, he engaged them all in chanting the holy names of the Lord. And they did so. They were dancing and roaring. And as Prabhupada commented, he said, Lord Chaitanya was able to get the animals to chant. We may not be able to have that much power. But at least we should be able to induce every human to chant. We should be able to get the humans. But we should use that same kind of enthusiasm to get them to chant. If they chant the holy names, then their life has become auspicious. No matter what sinful things they've done, it is said that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from more sins than he can ever commit. So the devotees, in the same mood, are going out fearlessly all over the world, every town and village. Prithiviti yachiyata nagaradi gram sarvatra pochoy hoibe moranam. And there's a need for sannyasis. In this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. In other words, one who simply wants to try to earn his livelihood by putting on saffron cloth and getting some food. That's not the purpose for taking sannyas. But sannyas for preaching is valuable. Therefore, if one is, as Prabhupada explains in other places, if one is well-versed in the scriptures and renounced, then he can take sannyas and preach. And that will be very beneficial. We see that people are inclined to hear from a person in the renounced order, a person who's given up. Even we see the leaders of these other institutions, the leaders of the Buddhists, the leaders of the Catholics, they've taken basically their sannyasis. They've taken vows of celibacy. Even though they don't follow all the proper principles of a Vaishnava, but at least they've taken that one vow that they will not have any relationship with women. And it's powerful. It has... One time when Prabhupada was in India and people were adoring him, paying obeisances and touching his feet, falling on the ground, which often happened to Prabhupada. He said, do you know why they adore me so much? He said, because I'm free from sex desire. Being free from sex desire is an extraordinary thing in this material world. Because everyone is influenced by these material desires. So, when one is not, and in addition to that, is also pure devotee engaged in devotional service. It's very powerful. Without being a pure devotee, one cannot be free from this sex desire because it is the strongest material influence. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaropasta vegam. Etan vegam, Yovisha heta dira sarvam apimam pratibim sashishyat. One who can control the six urges, the urge to speak, vachavegam, manasa, the urge of the mind. The mind wants to wander all over the place. I want to read this, I want to hear about that. Cannot control the mind. Vachavegam, manasa, krodavegam, the urge to become angry when something doesn't go the way we like. There's a tendency to become angry. But one who can check this desire, he's not this influence, he's not affected by anger, doesn't become angry over material things. Vachavegam, manasa, krodavegam, jivavegam, the tongue, and udara, the belly, the pushing of the belly, and upastha means the pushing of the genital. One who can control all these six urges is considered to be a Goswami. And he is qualified to make disciples all over the world. And one who's not able to control, then he's not fit to make disciples all over the world. He should not become a guru. One who's afraid of so many things, then he should not take sannyas. Because sannyasi has to be prepared to go alone anywhere for preaching work, for spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through the jungles and preached to the animals, then he preached to the humans. Well, Narad Muni is giving the example also here. Any questions?
It says, in this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. And one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life, is that Vanachari or is that sannyasi? Because they're talking about sannyasi. So I took it as they're talking about sannyasis.
Yeah, sannyasi.
Okay. So one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the mendicant or people like Narada and Lord Chaitanya. So that means what? We shouldn't travel around and we shouldn't do it? It says instead we should sit down or sit down at some holy place and devote the whole time and energy to hearing and repeating, chanting the holy scriptures.
Yes. It's a good point. That not in imitation. It's not necessary just to go out to prove that I'm fearless, that I'll go out to the jungle. No, the point is that we shouldn't think that we're very qualified. In this age, everything has fallen apart. Nobody is a proper brahmachari, nobody's a proper grihastha, no one's proper vanaprastha or sannyasi. You can just take it for granted that this is not the age for following strictly principles of varnashram. This is a fallen age. So there'll be faults in our execution of any of these. But the faults will be counteracted if we engage in devotional service. In other words, we should try to follow the varnashram system as far as possible, giving stress to engaging in devotional service. So the point is that rather than being very attached to simply going into fearful places and to display one's fearlessness, better go to, what is he saying?
Vrindavan.
He's saying go to some holy place and devote yourself to hearing and repeating the glories of the scriptures, like the six Goswamis, they went to Vrindavan. Nana shastra vichara naikanipano sadharma sangstaparko lokanam hitakarano tribhuvane manyo sharanya karo. They were always studying different scriptures, writing different books for the benefit of all human beings. And they were sannyasis. Of course, they didn't put themselves in extraordinarily fearful situations, but they did live under a different tree every night and they did tolerate the influences of heat and cold and being without homes. They gave up their money. They wore a loincloth. Chakva turnamashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchava. One sannyasi shouldn't have very opulent quarters, opulent accommodations. Shouldn't be with a lot of wealth. You should live a simple life. Now, if money comes to him, so for example, in the case of Rupa and Sanatan, they had given up everything. They were very wealthy, but they gave it all up for the service of the Lord. But then money came again. Some very wealthy person said, can I do some service? I have all this money. Yeah, build a temple for Govindaji. Or build a temple for Madan Mohan. So they engaged wealthy persons in building temples for the Lord. As long as one doesn't use anything for himself, if he takes any money just for his own sense gratification, well, then he'll become implicated. But if he uses the funds or the wealth for serving Krishna, then he's just an instrument. He won't become affected.
When reading, I tend to gather that he's saying it's better to just sit down at a holy place and devote your time and energy to hearing and repeating in that holy place rather than imitating or acting like, you know, the Narada Muni or Lord Chaitanya, because those people are like really empowered, or Lord, you know, or Prabhupada. So I mean, these people were empowered, right? You know, Dr. Incarnations of Krishna or whatever, and so I don't understand. Are they saying it's better to sit down and read the scriptures, or is it better to travel abroad and preach and
the idea is, don't imitate. Don't unnecessarily try to put yourself in a dangerous situation. They went through dangerous situations.
On purpose? Or?
No, they, as part of their service, they went to very difficult situations. So the point is, simply putting oneself in a difficult situation is not the real business of a sannyasi. Otherwise, you know, these daredevils, they would be sannyasis. Just putting themselves in frightful or green berets would be, you know, all sannyasis. No, the idea is he's supposed to hear about and glorify the Lord. So whatever's favorable for that. In other words, Prabhupada's saying either way is okay. If you can travel and preach, very good. But if not, there's no need to unnecessarily make that. But you can also go to a holy place. Now, another point here is that he may be speaking about the vanaprasthas. That it's not necessary to take sannyas. For the grihastha, just take vanaprastha. And Prabhupada established these places like Vrindavan and other holy places where vanaprasthas could go and live and just hear and chant. So yes, it's to the vanaprastha. The vanaprastha should go. The retirees, they don't have to take sannyas. So taking sannyas, yes, means for preaching. But even then, sometimes Prabhupada would indicate that a sannyasi may also stay in one place for preaching if he has important work to do. It's like these colleges, and it's like we're establishing. So this is the work. Also, sannyasis establish such institutions, and they spend some time. But they also travel and preach. He wanted the teachers to be among the vanaprasthas. He also wanted to encourage vanaprasthas to come to these colleges and teach.
My second question is kind of dealing with the first sentence. It is the duty. It is, you know, the duty. This is what he wants the mendicants to do, to experience all varieties. That's everything you could possibly experience, all varieties of God's creation. So by that, can you elaborate on it a little bit more? Because it seems to me Prabhupada's saying that he should experience everything so that way, you know, he understands that there's only God. So he can start separating, just like...
Yes, basically he wants him... The indication is he should go everywhere, travel and preach, because that's what the sannyasis can do. Only the sannyasis will do that. Because they have no connections, they have no family ties, and they have the realization that Krishna will protect them. Therefore, sannyasis are very valuable in society. They'll go places, tasks that are too difficult for others to do. They have the spiritual strength to do it, and they have the determination, having taken the vow of renunciation. And we see that, look at Prabhupada. And he went through that whole experience, whether he should take sannyas. Guru Maharaj was appearing to him in a dream, saying, come, come, take sannyas. Why? Because that vow, that irrevocable vow, is so important for preaching work. Now, for being a pure devotee, or being fixed in Krishna consciousness, he was already doing that. So sannyas, it's a kind of social. It's not spiritual in and of itself. It's also a social consideration. And it's a vehicle for preaching. When one takes sannyas, it's the way the Lord has arranged things. That one who takes sannyas has an opportunity to preach, and people want to hear. But he has to be strict. That's the thing. Because if he's wearing the cloth, but he's not actually following, then everyone will be disgusted. And they'll lose faith in the Vedic system. So there's a great responsibility. One who takes sannyas, he has to actually be able to follow. Otherwise, better he remain grihastha. It's not a great credit to take sannyas and then fall down. No, it's better to remain grihastha and preach in that situation than to artificially try to do something that one is not able to do.
So I was just wondering, did Narada take sannyas, and who was it from? Or I know he was the son of Brahma or something similar to that. And I was wondering if
well, whether he took formal sannyas or not is not stated here.
Okay.
But at least he took the lifestyle of a perfect sannyasi. It's like Shukadev Goswami. He didn't take formal sannyas. He didn't have the ceremony. But as soon as he came out of the womb, he left with nothing. And he did the same thing. So he was the greatest sannyasi. He even renounced the formality of taking sannyas. Renounced the principle of sannyas. He didn't renounce the principle of devotional service and renunciation on behalf of the Lord. Satnyas. Yes, he take of the transcendence. He renounces everything, gives up all the attachments to this material world. Mainly, he gives up the idea that I'm this body, and that this is all the upadis, the designations. I'm not American, I'm not Christian, I'm not Hindu, I'm not Muslim, I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm not male, I'm not female. He gives up all these designations and he simply preaches. Lord Chaitanya even gave up the designation of being a sannyasi. Instead, he said, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the maintainer of the gopis, Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.